And next speaker, if I can, is Della Shao Young. So I'd like to welcome Della to the podium. One of the many challenges many of us face is communicating our science to our funding entities. We heard Hans and Michael talk about their funding source. We also may be challenged by understanding the processes that they use. Della Shao Young holds a position on the Legislative Citizen Commission on Minnesota Resources, which has the responsibilities for disbursing funds for research sponsored by the Environmental and Natural Resources Trust Fund. So she's going to be talking to us about some of the best practices associated with applications. So with that, I'd like to welcome Della.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Wait a minute. All right, you guys look kind of scary right now. And I want to say to your president, thank you so much for your persistence. It's been a long couple of months for me. I've got a 15-year-old daughter, enough said. And I have a 13-year-old son who started playing football for the first time this year, and we're on our second break, so he's getting cast off his finger. So it's just been one of those years. So thank you so much. Again, my name is Della Shao Young. Most often, those of you who come from LCCMR funding, I'm sitting behind the desk, you know, just kind of thinking you guys will be okay, but I walked in this room this morning and I'm like, there are a lot of people out there looking at me. So I'm gonna be looking for a couple of faces. Make sure you guys remember to do the when I look. That usually helps me along and it makes me feel better. I don't know about you, but it makes me feel better. So anyway, I'm gonna spend some of my time here today talking about LCCMR. I am a hydrologist. I own and run a Young Environmental Consulting Group. I talked to Yata, who's back there, a lot about how she's underground and I'm on the surface. So that's who I am. I'm going to try. My speech today is not going to be technical at all, because I'm in a room of folks who had to do partial differential equations. So I'm not even gonna try, all right? So today I'm just gonna be trying to talk us through the LCCMR funding and just trying to help get our arms around. The first thing is just gonna be talking about what the fund is, the Environment and Natural Resource Trust Fund. Talk about the commission. And then what works during the process? I had to pull out my crystal ball for that, because there are some years where it works and there are other years where it's kind of different. So anyway, most of you know in 88, the citizens of Minnesota passed legislation to amend our constitution to allot money for this fund. And really, it's all about our desire as Minnesotans to protect, preserve, and manage water and natural resources. So this is a really big deal. It's extremely important, and it sets aside dollars for us to think about how do we stay on the cutting edge, not bleeding, but cutting edge of technology, thinking about some of the things that may hurt us, some of the invasive species and things of that nature, or just other harms. So that's really what this trust fund is all about. That's what we do. But this is what was set up. So then they set up this commission. It was the legislative commission on Minnesota Resources before, and then they put the citizen component of it in there. But there's 17 of us, five representatives. It's usually whichever house or whichever political group is in power per se would be the larger of the numbers. So it would be three, back in the day it was three Republicans, two Democrats. That's kind of how it is until the power shifts. There are seven of us that are citizens. I was appointed by Governor Dayton. I've been on the commission for about, well, since 2014 or 2015, one of the two, I forget. Because so we have so much going on. So anyway, there are five of us. And then the Senate has the ability, ooh, I like to move, but it's okay, I'll stay. the Senate has, they usually have one citizen they bring on, and the House has one citizen they bring on as well. And then there are five senators. Similar to the House, the Senate does the same thing. Right now we have Representative Hansen is one of the chairs. So each of these groups has a chair. So there's Representative Hansen from the House. There's Nancy Gibson from the Citizens, and then Senator Engelbertson from the Senate. And then we also have four nonpartisan staff that works with us. I'm gonna try to remember to, I'm gonna forget about my notes. We'll be fine. So the LCCMR, what do? I set up this really nice picture of when you walk in. This is kind of where you're sitting, where the two chairs are up front, and then we're on the back just looking at you. So now you see what I'm talking about when I talk about the difference, right? We're really there to adopt a strategic plan. What are we thinking about these dollars? What are we thinking about the vision? What are some things that we want to be looking forward at? We make recommendations to the legislature. We make recommendations to the legislature. We make recommendations to the legislature. I want to make sure I say that because there are things that come out of this commission. And if any of you experience that, my apologies. But there are just things that come out that don't pass or that does not get in the bill. But just make sure you know that there are things that we recommend, we make recommendations. And then we ensure that, you know, the expenditures and outcomes are met. So if projects are approved, they're a part of the bill. We work through, our staff works through the process of making sure that you guys are on task. And the objectives that you talked about are gonna be coming through. And if they're not, we wanna talk to you. We wanna hear why and what's going on, all right? All right, so our funding priorities. And most of you have seen these, but we know we talk about collecting foundational information. Of course, there's net water resources, environmental ed. You know, we don't get a lot of applications for environmental ed. I think that's just an important plug. Make sure, and Emily, gotcha, all right. So make sure you guys are thinking about environmental ed type projects. And things of that nature. There's aquatic and terrestrial invasive species, air quality, climate change. I say climate change, but there are some years you want to be careful not to put climate change in your title. Just a little word to the wise. Just keep that in mind. Methods for protecting and restoring water and natural resources, land acquisitions, and small projects. I think one thing I'll say here is that if your project can come in under $200,000 or be close to $200,000, make it so. Because those projects are usually the ones that we're like, oh, it's only $200,000. You know, I know it's a lot of money, but that's sometimes how we approach some of those. So just so you know. Our criteria. We do have these. I'll touch on that later. We look at the funding priorities. We look at whether or not there are multiple benefits, right? We look at what the outcomes are going to be. A lot of it also comes towards the urgency of what's happening, what's going on. So there are sometimes we're really heavily focused in one sector versus the other, but it has to do with the urgency. Sometimes. It's around innovation. I'm jumping around just so you know. Then there are other times where it's just around capacity and readiness, right? And then lastly is about leveraging existing resources with some of the resources that the LCCMR can provide. So the recommendation process, we do this annually. It's open to everyone. We go through an initial process where usually proposals are due in March, and then the commission, all of us read however many you have, and then, well, staff reads it first, then they send the recommendations to us. We review them, and then we make our own recommendations. Then we have this really interesting session of selecting projects. If any of you have experienced it, you know what I mean by interesting, right? So enough said there. Then you present to us with that little, in that little room where you're in those two desks, and we're all behind it, looking intently at you sometimes, right? And then we pick the top proposals, and I'm not even gonna say top proposals because, as some of you know, it's not necessarily the top proposals, so, because some proposals come out of nowhere and you're like, okay, my project scored way higher than that, how come this one is now up here and it's more money? It could be a $4 or $5 million project and you're kind of like, forgive us. If it was up to me, we would have a strict process. Because if you've seen me in those meetings, you know that I'm all about process, 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 because I want to have something to fall back on, right? And then last but not least, our process stops at making the recommendations. And then after that, it becomes the legislature's duty to pass it. But we make recommendations, so they have the right, and they use it to move projects, add projects, and do different things. We don't like that, but they do have, that is their right, right? So, I've said all of that, that's the background. So now, I'm gonna only do a couple of slides because I am waiting for Kelton's question. Seriously, I hope you're ready. So, you know, what works with this process? Look, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I'm just throwing out some stuff at you because there are some years where you're just kind of like, what just happened, right? And I'm on the commission, so just so you know, I encourage you to use our staff. Those people have been working on this for a long time. They understand the process. They're in the weeds about understanding the constitutional language. So if there's anything you're proposing that seems out of whack, they'll let you know right away. So when you have this this idea phase, give them a call and talk to them, and they'll kind of help you craft it, right? Then we also have a process where you can submit your drafts, and then they will give you recommendations on those. Use that. Provide clear research idea, plan and investigate, you know, just provide a clear research idea, plan to investigate, and triple check your ask, the financials. There are a couple of us on the commission that like numbers, so we're going to be looking at, my first thing is I go to the budget, right? As a consultant, think about the budget. So think about that. We also have somebody that worked at NASA on the commission. So she's all about the numbers, right? So make sure your numbers work. The next slide, I'm going to tell you guys, I'm not trying to be flippant or anything else like that. Please be simple. You're talking to a lot of us who have varying backgrounds, right? I usually see the scientific method stuff that's on the right, right? I'm trying to get to the simple picture, because if I can't explain your project in simplistic terms, I'm struggling, and then I have to do too much work to call you and try to get an understanding of what you're trying to do. And with everything we have going on, last year we looked at 200 plus proposals. So I'm not gonna have the time to give you a call. Make sure it's really simple. It helps me just, oh, I get it, right? If you're in the water space, 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna understand what you're doing. If you're not in the water space, yeah. Or, you know, even in the groundwater space, sometimes you guys are presenting stuff and I'm like, man, I need to get out a textbook. So it should never be that way. I understand that you wanna make sure that I understand that your technically capable to do this work, I'm going to look at your CV or whatever you add, right? But I want this research to be presenting clear ideas so that I can explain it. If I can't explain it, I'm sorry, okay? Again, use plain language. Also, something that I've seen a few of you do, come to the meetings to get a sense for what types of questions we ask, because it's clear we have different interest areas in the way we ask questions so that you can prepare for what to expect once you get those questions. Work to speak to as many of us as possible, right? So one thing that Becca sent me when I told her I was doing this presentation, the Alan Alda Center for Communication for Science Communication or Communication Science, they have this thing of Making Your Case to Congress workshop. It's really about talking to regulators, or I shouldn't say regulators, to the legislative bunch about whatever project you have. So you can think about it in a way of, what are some of the catchy things to say? What do they care about? Right? Because at the end of the day, they're going to be bringing this thing through and hopefully getting the governor's signature. And you know what? Listen to our questions. There are a bunch of times where I ask a question and it's like, okay, you didn't answer my question. So then it kind of throws me off and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I like that proposal. I know I'm human. That's my bias. I'm just letting you guys know. I prefer somebody who will take the time and say, you know what, Della, can you state that a different way? Because I'm not quite sure I'm understanding what you're asking. And I can do that as opposed to just throwing out something in and it's like, yeah, no, you didn't even try. I prefer if you, and a lot of us prefer that. You can see there are a few of us, if we're asking a question, there's a need to know, to dig deeper. And sometimes we're asking the question, we may already understand, but we're helping, we may know about other people on the commission that aren't quite clear because they've called us. So if I'm asking the question, I'm trying to help you along sometimes as well to say, answer this question. Somebody wants to know the answer to this on here. So if you don't understand the question, make sure to ask me or ask anybody else and they'll present it in another way. That is it. Now I'm looking for questions.
Thank you, Della. I'm sure you'll be seeing an uptick in applications, but that said, who has questions? Oh, yep. Kelton.
So in the years that you've been on the commission, are there particular groundwater projects that you're proud of, particularly proud of?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, so the one that I'm most excited about is one that is somewhat caught in limbo right now. It's a project that's looking at resilience and the high groundwater table that we're having. It affects me because most of my clients are in the stormwater space, and we're talking a ton about infiltration, but should we be infiltrating when you have high groundwater? No, but we need to have more research like that. And that one, I say it's in limbo because we have not agreed upon as a commission. We didn't pass the, we didn't vote affirmatively in order to pass the language on to the legislature, but that's one. I'm sure there are a number of others, but that's the one that's been on my mind a lot lately because it affects the state. There's also some of the work that Paul's doing just to set us, to give us a good foundation for what's going on out there. You know, I'm working on some fens in the Lower Minnesota River watershed area, and there's nothing more important than getting groundwater data so I know what the groundwater shed is, so that as I'm thinking about surface water and other things, how do we protect the groundwater shed going to these fens? So so yeah, I think there are a couple of them.
Della, this is Jim Almendinger. You had mentioned that we should talk to as many commissioners as possible, and you're talking to a room full of introverts and very polite introverts.
Okay.
And the last thing we want to do is to bug people, and how do we get their attention? And it's a little different maybe talking to a legislator than it is to a citizen. I mean, can you give us any recommendations on how to contact people in those groups? groups on the LCCMR, both the legislative side and the citizen side? A little advice?
So just for clarification, when I said talk to, I mean in terms of your presentations, make sure it's not focused to one group or the other. Make sure you're talking to a bunch of us so that we can understand it. I will say this, I am a stickler for fairness. So when I'm in the stage of evaluating proposals, I almost never talk to anybody. So if you are thinking about an idea and you want to pitch it, let's talk before the proposals are due, because it makes me feel uncomfortable around talking to folks after those have come in. So let's talk about it. Let's, you know, go ahead and let me know, hey, I want to chat with you. Others are willing to connect. So just feel free to send them a quick note and say, hey, let's get together for coffee, and be okay with them not getting back to you or saying no. Sometimes it's not about you. It could be they're traveling. It could be they have a ton of stuff going on, but you're in the same situation if you don't ask. So just go ahead and ask, and they should be willing to talk to you. But I will say this again. I do not talk to people after the RFP, the due date, and the proposals have come in. I usually don't, just because of fairness. So it's nothing against you. If you send me a note and I don't get back to you, just know that's what's going on. So use the time before wisely.
I'm sorry, I may have missed this in the early part of your presentation, but the development of the request for proposals, what is the dynamic that the LCCMR is currently using to develop its request for proposals, and what kind of resources do you draw upon?
So, good question. This has been, I'm looking at Jeff, only because this has been a thorn in our sides for like ever. Our proposal is like 50 pages long, and it's like, you know, give me 2 pages back. But there are a lot of things legislatively that we have to put on there. But staff's working on a database of sorts so that we can make this process less paper intensive. You all go in, put in your stuff. Once it's a draft, we can get a chance to look at it. So that way I can start thinking and processing applications that's coming in before they get in. But those are some of the things we're working on. I mean, I'll be honest with you, our proposal process is antiquated. And most of you guys know, you've been through it. You've told us that it's painful. We're trying to work on it. But we're looking now to update it to have it be electronic as best as possible. So we have a consultant on board working through that. And the hope is we'll have it done here by 2020, late 2020, 2021. Did I answer your question? Was there something else?
A really good question.
Okay, yeah. So help me understand.
Sure. No, I like the procedures about the RFP, but the notion of the strategic thinking that the LCCMR is supposed to reflect in its, here are the kinds of proposals we want to see this year, I was curious about the dynamic of decision-making and the choice of focus.
And actually, we're right in our strategic planning process right now. So a good number of you should have gotten emails or something of that nature saying, come out, be a part of this. The funding recommendations or the funding, the funding recommendation sections were set a couple years ago, and we refine it every year. So we look at it at the end of the year and say, hey, look, are these things still true for us? And then we move it along. You know, as we look at the air, water, climate, because there is the climate change component in there, it's extremely important. Sometimes I wonder if we just should have changed it to resilience or something like that, so that it's not so political and so charged, because it's like at the end of the day, it's like, I don't care about the words, let's just protect the resources, right? So, but it's checked every year, and then we have bigger times where we have like a big time change, like the 5-year mark, where we look at it, the entire system, and change it.
Mm-hmm. Della.
Yeah. Thanks. You should have this answer.
Thanks for your service on this. And two things. I just got an announcement, I guess. I just got a Facebook notice that Jean Wagenius is not going to rerun for her seat. And she's been one of the champions for the Geologic Atlas. And so much geology stuff, so we're going to really miss a leader in that. Comes to my question, though, about the future. LCCMR, the Environmental Trust Fund, what, 2023? Is that right?
Expires? I think so, 2025 or so, 23, yeah, 23, yep. Yeah.
So how is the commission working towards either a conclusion or a continuation of the LCCMR? You have a trust fund that has $1 billion. It gives you $60 million a year to spend.
Right.
Continue that. Huge benefit to Minnesota. What's the plans? What are you talking about?
Oh, my God, Jeff. You should have the answer for this because Jeff was on the commission for a number of years, and he was really one of the – when I came on the commission, he was one of the folks that I went to say, hey, what? And I would always – if you came to the meetings, you would see I was always sitting next to him, and there were times where it's kind of like I wasn't talking about him most of the time. So Jeff brings up a very important question, and what the commission has been doing, at least what I'm privy to, is – really getting out the word, making sure people understand what this is, what we're doing, and the importance of what we're doing, and it's really around the educational push, right? Because a lot of times the LCCMR is doing stuff through your work, but it's not clear that it's coming from the trust fund other than the fact that you see the little logo on stuff. I mean, really, how many people really... other than the folks that are going in there to get dollars, how many people know what it means? How many of the citizens really understand that it is because of that vote that they made, right? So it's really important for us to continue the education of citizens to make sure they know that this is important and needs to be funded again. So that's what I'm aware of. I'm sure there's much more, but that's what I'm privy to.